So we wear leathers and ride bikes not to be lovely. Just defeats the whole thing. I tell you. Well, thank you very much for allowing us to be here with you today. We are honored. And Shiloh Youth Ranch, how many know where it is? Okay, a lot of you know where it is. So every time we come out to the ranch, we drive right past your building. And right past the Tim's right over there is also an important highlight of coming through town. But Shiloh Youth Ranch, and basically is one thing about what this ministry is. And it's, we work with children, we work with youth who are in high risk and vulnerable situations. That's basically who we work with. We just saw a video for Alpha. That is a Shiloh girl who grew up to be an adult. But that is a typical Shiloh kid. Unbelievable. And I'm sitting down there in my chair, and I'm kind of like, okay, yeah, make sure we got everything looking good. You know, but it touches a person's heart when a person is crying out and injustice and unfairness and those things that they are experiencing, you just want to do something about it. You just want to intervene. You just got to do something. So, well, I got great news for you. You can. And I just want to talk a little bit about what God's view is on this. So if you've got your Bibles, turn in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 58. And I'm going to start at verse 6. I'm just going to just pray for a minute here as we look into God's word as what he has to say about people who we need to reach out to. Father, Lord, we come before you. God, we've been able to worship you. We've been able to praise your name and gather here in this place together. Lord, this is a safe place because this is the family of God. And we can come here and we can relax and we can just enjoy each other's company and basically come to a place where we know that you love us so much that you gave your life for us. Lord God, it is sobering that there are people all around us, even across the very street where we live, that they don't know this truth. They don't know about the love and the hope and God, the joy that you have. But we are here to show the way, Lord. And you filled us with your spirit to be able to do that. And so, God, I pray that as we look into your word right now, Lord, that those words will come alive in our spirits. And Lord Jesus will make a difference in our lives. In Jesus' name, Lord, we pray. So Isaiah 58, verse 6. Kind of an interesting introduction to what God has to say to his people. Because he's saying this question, is not this the kind of fasting that I have chosen? Now, typically in a lot of churches, and I don't know, maybe you guys are doing this, but January of a new year is usually the month of fasting. Is that happening here? No fasting going on. Well, I know at our church, it's the month of fasting. And some people are doing this Daniel fast, or some people are fasting from social media and whatever it is. But they're giving something up. And what that does is, like, when you fast, you get a, you know, it's lunchtime. It's noon. So I should be eating now. And that hunger is in there, and you feel that pang. And what that does is it's saying, oh, pray. You've got to be praying, right? And that helps you to focus. But in the spiritual world, fasting about something is like an atomic bomb to the enemy. It's the most powerful form of prayer that there is, because in intercession and fasting, things are changed by the power of God, but fasting somehow supercharges it in a way, and things get done. Things in the kingdom of God change and rattles the kingdom of the enemy, which is a good thing. And so God is saying in this passage here, is this not the kind of fasting I've chosen? But then he moves to something totally different than denying ourselves of some food or denying ourselves of some entertainment or something that we're used to doing. He says this is the kind of fasting that I have chosen to loose the chains of injustice. Let's just think about that for half a minute. And in relation to that video that we saw, that little girl experienced loss. She experienced abandonment by her own father, and then experienced abuse. Loose the chains of injustice. And so the metaphor here is about a farmer and his team of oxen. So he's got his oxen and he uses those, well, for whatever he needs to do, because he puts a yoke over the neck of the oxen. And on that yoke are loops and hooks. And he's able to hook up anything he wants to that oxen so that it can pull it around the field or around the yard or whatever he wants to do. So if he's got a wagon and it's full of stuff, he's going to town, he just takes the oxen over there. He's got the yoke on that animal, just hooks it on there, gets on the wagon and cracks the whip and away we go. We're going to town. Or we've got to go around the field. We've got to do some plowing. Whatever it is, that oxen is able to be able to do whatever the farmer wants. But what actually is happening, that oxen is being yoked to, some people call it a burden, a load to carry. Something that it probably wouldn't otherwise want to have hooked up to it, but somebody else is deciding what load you are going to be carrying and what burden you're going to be carrying. And so whether you're plowing around a field or hauling something, you are in subject to the weight you are carrying. How much weight did that little girl have to carry as a child? The yoke that was placed over her neck to carry the weight of abuse, abandonment, and loss was crushing and overwhelming. And we know that there were so many people that experienced this on a day-to-day routine in their own lives. And we cry out, we want to help. Well, God has a solution. Because he says in his word here that we are to loose those chains of injustice. You know what that is? You've got to go up to the animal and you've got to kind of unhook the chain. You've got to get involved. Right? It's not going to come undone by itself. You got to do something. And so we talk about a burden that is placed in our heart. And we get this feeling like, oh man, I should do something about this. Well, that's exactly the feeling that we should have as we go up and we get involved and we make a difference by loosening those chains. And so as we loose the chains, as we untie the cords of the yoke, then the Bible says that will set the oppressed free, because they are free from the burden. They're free from the wagon. They're free from the load that was attached to them. And we go, well, praise God, they're free. I was able to help them. But that's not really the crux of the story, because the yoke is still over the neck of that oxen, right? And even though the wagon is over there and the ox is over there free of that, anytime the farmer comes, he can hook that oxen up anytime he wants. So even an intervention isn't always the thing. To be truly free, Bible says that we are to break the yoke around the neck of the oxen. And so that family that we saw, they took in that nanny. And over the course of weeks and months, they were able to form a relationship and talk to that person about hope and introduce that person to Jesus. Wow. Jesus comes and destroys the yoke. That means that she can't be hooked up to that burden, that abuse and that abandonment. There's healing for that. The power of God comes through her life and courses through her. And what comes out of that? And we saw it on her face, but true and complete hope and joy. It's great to see that smile on her face. You know, when she would talk about what happened to her, the look on her face was just so moving. But as moving was that, was to see the aftermath of the joy that came over her. What a privilege we have that we can do this, introduce people to Christ. And so he says in verse 7, is it not to share your food with the hungry? That's easy to do. Is it not to provide the poor wanderer with shelter, and when you see the naked to clothe him, and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood? That's kind of especially your own kids, your own family, especially don't abandon them. Then we have the promise that if we do this, then verse 8, then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go on before you. And I kind of love this because he says, and the glory of God, the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. As we step out to do things and we move about this world, right? We know the enemy is out there as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And whatever we can see, we can deal with. But it's what we can't see. It's what sneaks up behind us that we can't see. But the glory of God, his own glory, will be your rear guard. You got nothing to worry about because nothing is going to be able to sneak up on you. Just move forward. Eyes forward. Forward. God's got your back. How reassuring is that? That to worry about the things that are around us, that those things that could take us over are null and void because of this. Then he says this, verse 9. Then you will call. And I love this. I can just picture calling out the name of God, calling out the name of Jesus. Jesus, and he's here, I will answer. He's right there. He's right there. And you will cry for help, and he will say, here I am. So if you do away with the yoke of oppression and the pointing finger and malicious talk, and if you spend yourselves on behalf and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness and your night will become like the noonday. The Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. So there's a couple of verses here on us helping people, and there's a whole whack of them and promises of what happens when we help people and make a difference in people's lives. All of these promises, you will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. And then verse 12, I love this, I love this, I love this. Your people will rebuild the ancient ruins and will raise up age-old foundations, and you will be called a repairer of broken walls and a restorer of streets and dwellings. And I added a couple words in there just in blue ink that I wrote by that verse. And the way I wrote it out was this: you will be called a repairer of the broken and the hurting. And you will be a restorer of hope and joy. Just like that video. That'll be our part in getting involved in people's lives. In Proverbs 31, verse 8 and 9, it says this. verse 8 and 9. Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, for the rights of all who are destitute. Speak up and judge fairly. Defend the rights of the poor and the needy. And so Shiloh, we work with children and youth who are living in high-risk and vulnerable situations. Keith.
Thanks for that. My name is Keith, and I'm the executive director for Shiloh, and it's great to be here with you this morning and just share a little bit about what's going on at Shiloh, how you can be involved, but really just the types of kids that we are interacting with that live what's kind of crazy in our cities, in our town, in our province. Sometimes I think we can think it's not happening where we are. It happens elsewhere. But really, it could be across the street, could be your neighbor. And I think sometimes we can lose fact that these kids are out there. And so we're just going to go through a little bit about some of the kids we deal with, some of the stories that we have, and really at the end of the day, the hope that Christ is bringing to these kids. That we're not dealing with kids that are forgotten, but we're dealing with kids that are loved by Christ. This past summer, we had a girl come out, 7 years old, from Edmonton. And one morning at breakfast time, we had oatmeal, baked oatmeal, fantastic breakfast. But she refused to eat any of the oatmeal. And kind of like her counselor's encouraging her and saying, you know, it's like super good and it's amazing. And she's just like, no, not eating it. Later on that day, as the counselor was talking to her, she opened up as to what the reason was she wouldn't eat this breakfast. And initially, it's kind of probably some frustration being a brat kid, not eating your food. But she said, you know, from the ages of 5 to 7, so up until recently, she was the sole provider and caregiver for her little brother, who was 3 at the time when she was 5. Her mom was downstairs prostituting herself out on drugs, and so she looked after her little brother for 2 years. And the only thing that she knew how to make was oatmeal. And until she was taken away by social services and ended up in a great foster home. But that was her story. And you know what we look at and we say, we live in Edmonton, we're in Alberta, this can't happen. And yet, every day it does. And so the types of kids that we connect with at Shiloh, you can see up there, come from low-income families, come from group homes, and come from foster care. 95% of the kids that we get on a summer and that we connect with have zero church or faith background whatsoever. 95%. And so really, we're dealing with this unreached group that exists in our province. And it's like sad to hear the stories, and it's sad to see the stats and what's going on. But man, we have this hope that is in Christ that is so amazing, and that it's there for the taking, and that he loves these kids so much that they're not forgotten. They're not viewed, as society would say, as less than, as troublemakers, as the ones that are going to end up in jail, as the ones that are going to do all the crime. It's these are kids that God passionately pursues and cares about so much. And when you think about it, most of us in this room are a few decisions away from probably our parents or somebody from being in a very different spot than we are today. And so as much as we thank God for where we are and what he's given us and the change that he's made in our lives, he wants that for these kids. You have another story.
Well, you know, Josh, he was 13, and a couple of Christmases ago, he had a normal Christmas with his family. He lived with his mom and his dad and his little sister even. And so just a family doing family stuff, and he's growing up in this environment. And he's got, you know, he's at school. He's got his bike, so he's kind of mobile, and he's got his buddies. And, well, girls are starting to, I don't know, if are they interesting? He's just at that, you know, kind of age, and just a 13-year-old little guy doing his thing. And later that spring, his mom and sister were in a car crash, and they died in the accident. And as devastating as that is, him and his dad were coping and trying to make things go, but his dad sunk into a depression and couldn't shake it. And his depression began to spiral downward more and more till it consumed him. And he wasn't able to climb out of it, and he killed himself. So now we have young Josh, no mom, no dad, no sister, living by himself in another city in another province. And somehow, for some reason, he's shipped over to Edmonton, and the environment he's in, he's having trouble adjusting. I mean, obviously, look what he's been through, and things didn't work out. And as social services stepped in, he was sent to a group home. So I don't know if you can imagine having a family, a mom and a dad and a sister, and your friends and your school and your teachers and that whole network in a different city, in a different province, in a group home. And a social worker knows of Shiloh and said, well, he should go to camp, and sent him out to camp. Little Josh. And it's interesting how God arranges things. We've got all these kids who have all kinds of horrible stories and situations and you know, unbelievable injustices committed against them. But somehow, as you bring them all together, something happens to the group. And you know how it is when your own kid is you know, at school, and they get a ribbon or a medal. They ran in track. And so what do they do with that ribbon or that little medal as soon as they get it, right? They come home, Mommy, Daddy, look what I got. Look what I got. Well, guys like Josh don't have anybody to show that medal to or that ribbon. They don't have that. And so that's where the family of God steps in to make a difference in someone like Josh's life, to work with a kid like that. We have 13, 14-year-old kids that come out there. They have never had a birthday cake. It's unbelievable.
On this next slide, just some stats from the summertime. But the second one from the top, you know, sometimes, like, it's easy to gloss over that kind of stuff. 228 kids made decisions for Christ. Now, these are not kids that have ever, in a lot of cases, even heard the gospel message. If you can remember in your life, maybe it was last year, maybe it was 30 years ago, the first time you really sense God's love. That moment when you accepted him and he showed up in your life in such a powerful way. Week after week, his kids are coming with baggage, with abuse, abandonment, thoughts that they'll never amount to anything, and God shows up. We serve a living God who is still active in our world today and is doing life-changing miracles. That exists. It's not somewhere else. It's right here. Fort Saskatchewan, Edmonton, Alberta. God is moving and active and is interested in continuing to meet people where they're at and change their lives forever. That's the God we serve. And man, when I saw the Alpha video, I'm like, what an opportunity to invite someone to experience that love. What an opportunity at Shiloh to come and play a part in seeing kids experience the love of Christ. You can see we have over 100 staff and volunteers that work with us throughout the year. And so there's opportunity to get involved and continue to help with what we're doing. At Shiloh, we have two programs. We have our summer camp, which happens July and August, over 8 weeks. We also have our Connections program, which is our follow-up program that we do. Due to the fact that so many of our kids have nowhere to go after camp that involves positive community, we started our Connections follow-up program where we basically take the kids, we meet with them one-on-one in large group settings, and really just continue to build and reinforce positive community. Last year, through that program, 7 kids who were plugged into churches got baptized. 7 kids. These kids are coming from nothing to meeting and being introduced to the gospel, to accepting God, to receiving his forgiveness, to getting plugged into church, and now 7 kids are baptized. That's like life-changing for that entire family line. What was there is no longer there. And that there's a shift that takes place in their lives. And that's exciting.
Yeah. So why do we do this? You see a picture of that gentleman there. That's Pastor Raymond Reeb. He was the pastor of Southside Pentecostal Church. He's passed away now. But he was downtown Edmonton back in the late 90s and looking at the dereliction on the streets and wondering, God, how can we do anything with this? What can we do about this? And he would had this wrestling match with God. These people aren't going to come to our church. How do we reach them? God spoke into his heart and said, maybe not them, but let's move to before they become street people. Before that, when they're children. And God planted in his heart to start Shiloh Youth Ranch. So in 2000, the very first year was the first year of camp. And I'd been pastoring in a small town of Hughenden. Who knows where that is? Exactly. One guy. What? Okay. It's nowhere, right? Anyway, we had resigned, and I was going to be working at World Relief Canada. But in the meantime, I was asked to come and help get Shiloh going. In the year 2000, we got the camp going. And I will never forget the very first day of camp when we were there. I had this old John Deere AR tractor, you know, the old two-cylinder chugging away with a hay wagon behind me. And Norm Bonk, who basically built the camp, he was on his white stallion. I mean, it was spectacular. John Deere tractor, white stallion. We're about the work of the kingdom, folks. Anyway, but I saw the bus coming down the road, and then it has to turn over to come over the Texas gate. And you know how we pray, even this morning in prayer, we talked about putting a hedge of protection about this place, and you think of maybe a wall of fire or angels or something, this protection. And Shiloh is a place bathed in prayer, and it's like this force field surrounding the camp. And this bus comes around the corner, full of all these kids that are ready to go to camp and have all this fun. And it's like, as they came through, all the junk of the world and the oppression was left in a pile on the front gate outside of that force field on that Texas gate. And they came in to a free zone to experience freedom. And I've been hooked for the last 20 years on ministering. Now my son is the executive director. I'm so proud of that boy.
We'll kind of go through these next slides, so we're not going to run over time too much.
We've got 3 minutes.
3 minutes. So what we do, our Connections program, I talked about that. That's our follow-up. That runs during the school year. We do large group events once a month with our kids. We're getting 70 to 80 kids showing up to these events that we run in Edmonton, along with 5 different connection workers, we call them. They meet with kids one-on-one, take them for coffee, take them for lunch, take them to church, take them to youth. Really anywhere we can find positive community for these kids. And so we have, right now, we've connected with over 200 kids from last summer in our Connection follow-up program. And so we're trying the best we can to get plugged in and get these kids connected. And so that's some of the ways that we're doing that. And then our summer camp, we got horseback riding, swimming, archery. We're going to show you a video at the end. You'll get a bit of a visual picture as far as what we do. But the campfire services every night are so critical because that's when we share the gospel. And we're not ashamed of the gospel. We're very upfront. We're very open because I believe and our staff believe it's a life-changing truth. And so we share the gospel and share who Jesus is all the time. And so because of that, the life change continues to take place. Some pictures of some kids.
That's you?
That's me. I can hardly read that from here. But anyway, we're committed to helping the kids. And because of that, we need financial donations to be able to make it work. Because you can imagine a lot of these kids come from families. They can't afford $300, $400, $500 to send a kid to camp. Or to send a kid to an after-school program during the school year. With our connections program, where we have 6 connection workers that work with these kids year-round in follow-up. We keep plugged in. But they can't afford that. So we charge a minimum up to $50 registration fee just so they make sure they're there to catch the bus. And so we have churches, we have businesses, we have donors. All these people help to make Shiloh possible, and it works.
So some ways that you can get involved personally if you're looking for opportunities to serve and connect. Obviously, in the summertime, you can be a wagon or cabin counselor. Up there, that's what we sleep in, covered wagons.
Actual covered wagon. There it is.
Opportunity in the kitchen, opportunity in the barn to help with the horses. We've got 21 horses, so there's a lot of work that's involved in there. Maintenance, we do a work bee in the springtime. If you're even interested in doing a family missions trip, bring your family out to serve. There's opportunity for that. But really, 2 important ways, the bottom 2, that are so critical to what we're doing.
Prayer is key. You see, someone has to pray to put that hedge of protection, that wall of fire, that force field around the place to make it a free zone, right? Someone needs to be on their knees praying. If God places that on your heart, that is vital. What would be totally amazing because of your proximity is for you to be able to actually come out to the camp and walk around and just praying and praying and praying for these kids and see the amazing things God can do.
Most of you raised your hand, you know where it is.
Yeah.
Some upcoming events, we do a chili cook-off January 26th at 1 o'clock at the Park Church. We're doing a hockey game and then our motorcycle ride in June. So if you want more information on any of that, come talk to us after. We've got a video we're going to close with to give you a bit of an idea of Shiloh, our camp, and our connections program.
Shiloh is a year-round Christian organization that supports kids and youth ages 7 to 18 living in high-risk and vulnerable situations. We offer summer camps in July and August with a variety of program options, evening campfires with live music and encouraging speakers. During the school year, we have regular large group connection events, and our connection workers host weekly meetings with students. There is a significant need in our city and province for safe places for kids to learn, grow, and build relationships in a positive community. Many have found this safe place at Shiloh's camps and connection events. They become part of the Shiloh family, and for some, they feel genuine love and hope for the first time in their lives. Join us in providing hope for the next generation.
Let's sing to the God who brings light to the darkness.